Good morning, Union Church. It is great to be with you once again and have the privilege of bringing God's Word to you this morning. For those of you who want to kind of get ready about where we're going, you can open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. We're at Galatians 4, verses 1 to 7. And I'll be using the International Version, New International Version this morning, so if you want to follow along in that version on your iPhone or your phone, you can do that. It is great to be here this morning with you. One of the things I love about preaching is that when I study the scriptures, it's not just about what God wants to say to his people here. God also speaks to me. And so I want you to know this morning is that as I studied and as I looked at this, and as I talk with you this morning, this is not something I'm an expert in. It's something I'm still growing in. Because I believe that no matter where we are in our journey with Jesus, he always wants to take us deeper. He always wants to take us deeper. And no matter how often you read a passage of scripture, you can go back to it. Because God's word is alive, it can speak once again. And as I was studying, I just reminded this week just how foundational my identity in Jesus is. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Living in our identity as God's kids. Have you ever felt you didn't belong? Let me leave that there. Let me pray, and we'll continue. Jesus, this is all about you. We just sang the heart of worship. It's all about you. As we come to your word this morning, it's all about you. It's not about what I think. It's not about my preferences. It's about what your word has to say. And so this morning, Jesus, I ask that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our ears to what you want to say to us this morning. And Jesus, I pray that you would use me to be that vessel to bring your truth to your people this morning. And so God, whatever it is you want to say, I ask that you would do that through me this morning. I want to be your vessel. And so may you be the front and center for each person here this morning from your word in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. So let me ask you that question again. Have you ever felt like you didn't belong? When I was 13 years old, my parents gave me this signet ring. It's a ring that has my initials on it. The whole idea behind the signet ring in our family is that at 13, you get it because you begin to enter a new phase of life and you begin to mature. And part of it is the idea is no matter where you are, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, that ring will help you remember that you belong to us, your family. Nothing will ever stop you from being family. And yet, even wearing this ring, I struggled with my identity in my family. So much so that I believed that I was adopted. I was like, I'm convinced mom and dad are lying to me. I'm good at sports. My brothers are better. I struggle with school. Matter of fact, I think I have an allergy to studying. But my brothers are all top A students. I have brown eyes. My brothers have blue eyes like mom. I'm the only left-handed person in our family. And I'm like, you know what, mom and dad? I gotcha. I'm adopted. And I was so convinced I was adopted that one time when my parents were out, I knew they were out for quite a while, I went to my dad's home office, and I rifled through his entire filing cabinet looking for my adoption papers. You know what I found? My adoption paper. No, I'm just kidding. I found nothing. Why? Because I'm a biological kid of my parents. I think often we struggle with our identity in Jesus. Jesus, can you really love me? Jesus, can you really accept me? And if we don't deal with our identity in Jesus, we can't live in the fullness that Jesus has for us. And so I want to go through Galatians this morning, because it deals with our identity. And I want to leave us this morning at the end of this time standing firmly in the identity we have. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We're going to walk out out of church today and get up tomorrow morning to go to wherever we're going and go, yes, Jesus, I'm your kid. I hope that happens. But some of you will probably wake up in the morning and go, am I really adopted by Jesus? Let's get into his word. Galatians 4, 1-7 says this. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until time set by his father. So also when you were underage, you were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is all about identity. Who are we? We're God's kids. And sometimes that's so hard to walk through and to really live out. Because we know ourselves too well, right? We know how we think. We know what's on the inside. We go like, oh man, if my neighbor or my friend knew what I was thinking, oh, but God knows everything. Oh, what's God thinking? And I want us to walk firmly in our identity in Jesus as his kids. Verses 1 to 3 is all about remembering. You might be looking at verse 1 like, what is this saying? Like, you know, an heir to inheritance doesn't get it until he's of age. But what's Paul talking about to the Galatian church? I don't want to go through the whole beginning part ending in chapter 3, but I want to read the one verse in chapter 3, verse 23, because it helps set the tone for the rest of it. And I'm just going to give us a bit of an kind of outline of what that is, because it's significant to what we're going into as identity and having identity in God. Verse 23 says this, before the coming of this faith, that is before the coming of Jesus, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. And he goes through all these things and he comes down to this point of saying, here's what I'm saying, is that just as a son who would inherit something isn't of age yet to inherit that, we can't, as God's kids, inherit the fullness of what God has until Jesus arrives. Now, part of this is reminding the Galatian church about the significance of Jesus coming. Why? Because if you remember, or if you know, after Malachi, there's a 400 years of silence of God. God does not speak through any prophets. Now, I don't believe at all God just kind of went, okay, world, do what you want to do. Because if you know, at the end of Malachi, they're dealing with the fact that people don't want to follow Jesus. They're following idols. They're following their own ways. They want to do their own will. And God will say this, if you so choose not to follow me, if you so choose to do your own thing, go ahead. I'm not going to force myself on you. And so there's this 400 years where Jesus does not speak to his people. I don't believe God abandoned the world completely. I don't think God turned his back on the world. I think still God was highly involved in the world, but God didn't speak. And I think part of that is, as I think about those 400 years and seeing how Matthew begins and how the Gospels begin with John now prophesying that Jesus, the Messiah, will be coming, one greater than me is here, is this. I think God began to create a hunger in his people to hear what he has to say. Have you ever been in silence? Complete silence. Back in December, I was at a leadership course in Canada, And one of the things they did was they said, for Saturday, I believe it was, Saturday or Sunday, one of the 2 days, can't remember which one, you will take the whole day in complete silence. You'll come in, you'll eat with other people, but not talk. You'll see them sitting around the lounge, but you won't talk. The whole day's in silence. That's awkward. Matter of fact, it was so awkward that when we sat down to eat, people wouldn't even look at each other. Why? Because when you look at each other, there's this desire to start speaking, but you can't, and it's weird. It's like, I just want to say something. I just want to speak. I want to hear somebody else say something. It creates this desire and this hunger, like, man, we're built for more. We're built for communication. We're built for community. And I think part of God's silence in those 400 years was creating that deep hunger in his people to go like, God, please speak. We need you. We need community. And Matthew begins, and that silence is broken by John coming and leading the way for Jesus. Silence is broken. Because God deeply wants to be in relationship with his people. God deeply wants to be known by his people. And so he goes through verses 1 to 3 and creates that reminder. Until Jesus comes, you live as slaves under the law. All you have is the law to live by. Because I have not been speaking, I've not been leading in that way. You have the words on paper, and that's it. And I love this. In verse 4, it begins with this. It's a transitioner. But. As a youth pastor, I always make this joke, do you like big buts? Because if you do, this is a big but. Pay attention. Pay attention. It's what is calling us to. Pay attention to what's being said next. Verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. But at the set time, God sends a son, Jesus, born of a woman. Jesus, fully God, fully man. Sometimes a concept we find so hard to wrap our heads around. That he's fully God and yet he's fully man. He had to be born of a woman. Why? So that he had to live underneath the law. Why? So that he could come to fulfill the law and be the sacrifice that would take away the penalty of the law. He didn't erase it. He fulfilled it. In order that his kids, those in which God created, those which chose to say, I am ready to follow you fully, God, to redeem those people. He could fulfill the law, and he could bring redemption to those people. What does that mean, to be redeemed from something? It means to be bought back. It means to be freed from. Jesus came to buy us as his kids back from the penalty of the law. Because we can't fulfill it. It's impossible for us as humans to fulfill the law that God requires because he's holy. We are not holy people. But because of Jesus and because of what he did on the cross and because of his resurrection, we know this, right? God has paid in full the price so that in the eyes of God the Father, we are seen as what? Holy. We are seen as holy. We can know God. I love where this goes to adoption. Because Jesus went to the cross, because he rose, because he paid the penalty for us, because he fulfilled the law for us, we can be in direct relationship with God the Father. God has adopted us and given us full rights. I love how the New Living Translation says this. Listen to these words out of the New Living Translation. God sent him, Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Let me say that again. So that he could adopt us as his very own children. Let that sink in for a second. What does that look like? I'm fully adopted into God's family because of what Jesus did. If I have chosen to say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior, I accept all of who you are, and I'm willing to give all of who I am to you, you're part of God's family. You are adopted in. I'm not adopted. I have friends who've been adopted. But I think a great picture of the adoption is like this. When Cindy and I got married, my parents said to her, not in these exact words, but they said this, Cindy, we love you, and you're now a part of us. Whether you like it or not. And it wasn't long after that my grandma Tiefel passed away. And we went out to Vancouver in British Columbia to go to her funeral. And we went to my grandma's apartment. And we're going through all our stuff. What do we keep? What do we throw away? What do we give to different members of the family? And we came to my grandmother's teacup set. She had all these precious teacups she had. And part of her will was that every granddaughter would receive a teacup. And as we're in that apartment, my mom turns to Cindy and says, go get your teacup. That is full adoption. It's not like, oh, you're married in, you're kind of one of us, but you're not really. No, you're fully a part of us. Go get your teacup. God has adopted us as his very own children because of what Jesus has done. The Messiah has come. He has walked this earth as fully man and yet fully God. He walked underneath the law just as those before him did, and yet he fulfilled the law. And at the death and the resurrection of Jesus, he broke all the bonds of slavery of sin for us so that we could be fully known and we can fully know our Heavenly Father. Amen? That's who we are. God wants to make us his kids. Do we live in that? Here are some of the things that happen because of being his kids. Listen to verses 6 and 7. Because you are his sons, and that just doesn't refer to males, that refers to male and female. Because we are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Because you are his sons. God's talking to the believers in Galatians. So those of you who are following Jesus, those of you who accepted Christ, pay attention to what's being said next. And if any of you here this morning aren't yet following Jesus, please pay attention to what God wants to give you, what God wants to bring you into, what God wants to embrace you with. But those of you who are following Jesus, listen carefully to what he says. He says, I've given you my Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. What does that mean? That is, for me, that's deep. There is so much in those few little words. He's given us a spirit. Well, what do we know about the Holy Spirit? What do you know about God's Spirit? Well, if you get a chance this week, read through John 14 to 16. There's all kinds of stuff about the Holy Spirit. But let me give you a quick synopsis. One is this. By having His Spirit, we have a guide for life. Have you ever been on a tour anywhere and you need to be guided? I went spelunking one time in some caves. And when you turned your headlamp off, you couldn't see a thing. It was complete darkness. And there's all kinds of places to go and different routes and different tunnels and all things you can kind of go. And I tell you, when you're inside a cave like that and it's dark, you lose all sense of direction. You don't know if you're going up, down, east, west. Who knows? You need a guide. You need a guide who knows the tunnels, who knows the caves. God says, I'm sending you my Spirit. He's going to guide you. When you have questions, you don't know where you're going. You don't know if you're going east, west, up, down. He goes, come back and say, Holy Spirit, lead me. He's our guide. He's our comforter. You ever needed to be comforted? You ever gone through a deep time of going like, I feel alone. God says, I've sent you my Spirit. He's your comforter. He'll give you what you need in your times of need, in your times of high, in your times of low. He's your comforter. He's your convictor of sin. Why? So that he can go like, Ray, you're so bad. No. He's a convictor of sin. Why? Because he wants us to walk with him. He doesn't want us to go off on our own way. He doesn't want us to go off in a wrong direction. And so when we walk in those ways, the Holy Spirit convicts us of that so we can say, God, forgive me. I receive your forgiveness, and I will continue. I will walk in the way in which you've called me to. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit is our reminder of truth. It brings us back to the truth of God's word. What is true? In a world today when there's so many things of, well, this is true, and that's true, and this is the way to Jesus, and this is what truth is. You're like, oh, there's all these competing voices. You say, God, by your Holy Spirit, help me sort this out. And he will. Why? Because the Holy Spirit only speaks truth. He's a reminder of truth. And I love this reminder of truth he gives us here. The Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. The word Abba, Daddy. Now, that's not flippant. That's not, hey, Dad. It's like, no, I can cry out, Daddy, Father. What God has done, what Jesus has done, with God sending him at the appointed time, do you remember what happened when Jesus gave up his Spirit? Do you remember what happened at the temple? Until Jesus died, the Holy of Holies was covered by a curtain. Only the high priest could go in. It was only the high priest who had access to the presence of God. And at the death of Jesus, what happened? That curtain was ripped in two, and the presence of God is revealed to all. And what happens is God goes from being unapproachable to being approachable. It's intimacy. It goes from not having intimacy to having intimacy with the holy God of this universe. This is our identity. We are God's kids. Jesus has made us part of his family. Him coming changes everything because there's no longer a need to doubt. Who am I? Where do I belong? The curtain is torn. God the Father is fully approachable. Matter of fact, it says here, we can come to him and say, Daddy, that's the intimacy level that Jesus gave us through the cross. That's the intimacy level God wants to have with you, and he wants you to have with him. But there's a whole outworking of that. So what? So what? I believe if we don't understand our identity, we won't live in the fullness that God has for us. When the scriptures say to us that Jesus has come to give us life and give it to the full, until we walk on that foundation of the identity of what we have in God the Father, I don't think we'll ever live in that fullness. It has to come out of the identity as us, as God's kids. And so, as I look at this, you got to ask the question, like, so what? What does it mean to be part of God's family? I think there's the here and the not yet. And so let me close with the here and the not yet. As the identity and what we have, and I want to call us to live into this fullness today. And I'm saying this to you not as an expert, because I'm still growing in it. And I think I will continue to grow in it. And I want to go deeper and deeper with Jesus. Do you? I hope you do. And that you live out of that identity of what God says, here's who you are, and here's what I bring to you as my very own children. Here's the now. All that Jesus had when he walked this earth under the law, we have. When Jesus went to the mountain to talk to the Father to hear his voice, we have. When Jesus went to the desert and was tempted, and at the end, the angels came to attend to him, we have that. When Jesus walked in truth, even when he walked contrary to what the Pharisees thought should be truth, he did that because of the voice of the Spirit, and he did that because he knew the truth. We have that. We can walk in those ways. All that Jesus had, we have. You ready for this? What did God say to Jesus at his baptism? This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. I don't know if you can accept that this morning, but maybe just put your hands up and go, wow. God, you love me and you're pleased with me? Because just as Jesus had that, God says that to you. You're my kid, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. And some of you will react against that. I know that because I have reacted against it too. Why? Because I know myself too well. I know how imperfect I am. But with my kids, it doesn't matter what goes on in their lives. With my kids, I love them and I'm well pleased. Not with every action they've ever taken, but with who they're becoming and many of the choices they're making. And because you are God's kid, he says to you, I love you, and I'm pleased with you. See, in our humanity, we go like, oh, I need to read my Bible more. I should go to church more. And if God's going to accept me, I need to do this more. He says, no. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, I want full intimacy with you. And I say to you, I fully, 100% accept you right now. I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to continue to do the work of sanctification in your life. But I fully embrace you and I fully accept you. What other rights do we have? We have the right of that intimacy with God. We have our full rights of the now is forgiveness of sin, freedom from the bondage and the entanglement that sin brings. We have the ability to live by the power of the Spirit. We have all the fulfilled promises of God for us. When Jesus says, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened, ask, you'll receive, those promises are true for today. When God says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, that's a promise for you for today, that he will never turn his back on you. When he says, if you need wisdom. Ask and I'll give it to you. Ask because you're God's kid. He'll give it to you. All those promises throughout all the scriptures are for us as well, not just for Jesus. Here now, because we're his kids. The other full right we get, and I think this is something that's just part of being God's kid because he calls us community, is we get to walk with other people. It's not something Scripture says outright, but when I read through the Scriptures, Scripture never, ever calls us to live our life with Christ alone. Never. And so part of being God's kid is he puts people beside us to walk with us, to sometimes be that voice for him, but also people where there's an actual audible voice to encourage us, to walk with us, to challenge us. And part of being God's family isn't just going, hey, that's great, there's kind of, you know, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and me, yahoo! No, it's Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and all of his kids. It's part of being the family. So let's be family. Let's walk together. The not yet is this. Really, it's this. Eternity. Perfection. As his kids, that's what we'll receive. When Jesus comes and takes us all home, is the time when we get to live all of eternity with him. We get to experience the perfection of what he actually created in the Garden of Eden. He brings us back to that place. And so I want to call us this morning to live into this identity. I want to call you to receive all that God has for you and all that God wants for you. But in order to do that, we have to start at the very beginning with answering the question we all ask, some of us very often, who am I? Who am I? You're a child of the living King. I want to encourage you to go out and remind yourself of that. Tomorrow morning, before you go wherever you go, remind yourself, where I go today, I go as God's kid. And all that I need, God will provide. And I walk with a King who walks with me. Walk as his children. It won't be perfect. There'll be times where you struggle. That's okay. That's why the body's bigger than just me, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. Walk in his ways. I'd encourage you this afternoon, this song, I woke up this morning with a song going through my head. And I think it's so appropriate for this time. It says, who you say I am. Who you say I am. I'd encourage you this afternoon to listen to that and use it as a prayer.